see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is as it rains. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Yeah. Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible study for tonight on this Monday. Hit the ground running here on a Monday night for a Bible study. Different broadcast, it's a Bible study. Well, I just said that, didn't I? I don't know, it's a little different than I do in the daytime Bible broadcast. I'm getting confused. Family, this week I want to dedicate the studies and broadcasts going on the attack. That's my thoughts. To come up with solutions this week. To expose as much as I can. And solutions on how to deal with the reality of what's happening in this world today. Because it's certainly not being taught properly. I'll tell you that right now. Not at all. It's I'm going to give you an example. Here, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now. And I'm going to give you just, I could believe it, this an example of the teaching that's going through just right in your face, right up front of what some of these evangelists are teaching. It's just so obvious. And family, don't confuse judging someone's moral behavior, which none of us can do. Don't confuse that with correcting and rebuking and exposing false teaching. You can do that. Matter of fact, you have a responsibility to do that. Now, some places it might be responsible for you having to pick another church to go to afterwards, or unfortunately another job. And also you got some soul searching to do. I'll tell you right now, I've lost three in the past 10, 12 years, and it wasn't because of lack of of work. It was because I was talking about the New World Order at work, and I at high level positions, really good paying jobs, but I can't help it. I'm not going to just sit in these meetings with colonels and majors and whatever and not talk about Al-Qaeda being in the area I was working in, Kosovo, and just not say anything. And when I had the information, I had to do it. I had no choice. I was warned to, on the cuff outside, you better be quiet because you're making some people in American leadership unhappy. I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't help it. I have to. I can't stop. And they were warned to shut me up, tell me to shut up, and shut him up. And this is documented. And it's too bad. And then the second time was security company that was working for the CFR. I didn't know that at the time. But I would refuse to be a Freemason. And the third time was talking about it at a job that was a good friend of mine that he was a Freemason, but I was talking about it anyway, and it didn't work out. So, family, it has its repercussions. Me, I knew it, but I it's just my nature. I have to do what I have to do. It's the way it is. But family, that's nothing compared to when it gets really serious and you're jerked out of your house and you're killed for it. That day's coming. When? Nobody knows. But the day's coming. It's been all through history of man. The Catholic Church murdered 50 to 68 million people in a 600-year period for being a Christian, following Jesus. That was the purpose of it. Not one witch was killed. This is now coming out. But see, let me tell you something, though. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. Okay, hang in there. But they're now starting to expose the ills of the Roman Catholic Church. Who's doing it? The Jesuits are. Why? Because they're going to take down the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholics don't know this yet. And the Roman Catholic Church was called re-spiritualize into the New Age movement. So they're going to demonize now. They're going to release all this bad stuff about the Roman Catholic Church and the doctrine and the Jesuits are going to change doctrine and cause splitting. All that's designed to take it down like they started taking down America in 1945. They're now starting to take down the Roman Catholic Church to replace it with the New Age movement, which is still part of the root system of the Roman Catholic Church before 325 AD. Oh, yeah. To bring on secular humanism, which will then evolve into leading them to the 7-year tribulation period. We are very close. We're not there yet, but they're setting it all up. You can't play dominoes unless you set up the little rectangular thingies. We're setting them up. They're about done. Let's dedicate the broadcast, and let's talk tonight in generational curses. I'm on a radio program tomorrow morning early, apparently, and 7:30 in the morning and Sister Max program. I'll be talking about generational curses from another perspective, but it's all connected, and I won't be talking about this all week, and it'll all be different. In other areas, I'll repeat some things because it requires repeating. One time just doesn't get it because people tend to forget what you're taught 3-4 months ago or a year ago, and see the Illuminati, the Jesuits, etc., blah, 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 are expecting and encountering that people do forget things that happened in the past so they can throw things at you here in the future so you don't connect the dots. Well, I like to connect the dots and remind you of things taught in the past. Oh, yeah, that reinforces the training or the broadcast or how you want to look at it. Yeah. Let's get started. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in this Bible study. Father, we pray to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we pray, Father, you'll spread the blood of Jesus around us tonight. That, Lord, that you'll guide us along with your Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us of our sins. That, Father, that Holy Spirit can dwell inside of us and guide us and give us knowledge, Father, that we can spread that word and spread that truth and spread that gospel, that, Lord, we'll learn how to defeat Satan's own game. That, Father, we'll know about generational curses. That we'll know, Father, how to break the chain, to break the chain. And break that chain. That, Father, the freedom you have is through the Word of God. Not through the freedom of knowledge and good and evil, but the freedom of God. The freedom comes from knowledge, Lord, we know. To humble ourselves before you and receive the Holy Spirit. And then, Father, to become watchmen, all of us. All those that have that opportunity, Father, to take that opportunity to spread the gospel. Father, we pray for our family members for the healing. Father, to drive those demons out. Protect these houses, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And bring those warring angels down, that, Lord, that they'll protect the homes and protect the children and protect the families. That, Father, we know that evil is going to rise. But, Father, we know that your Holy Spirit's already there. Father, we pray for our awareness in this country. We pray for the awareness and truth about the end times events, Father, that will not be deceived. And, Father, we pray for the exaltation of the King James Bible, that, Father, to bring it up. Father, to bring out those men of God that's going to preach truth. Father, we need that arise. We need it soon, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. David Wilkerson, great preacher, evangelist, goes back decades and decades and decades. His death was extremely questionable, and it borders on almost being able to say soundly that he was murdered. Recently, there have been another plane crash of another evangelist that it was a prominent evangelical pastor, wife, and nine were dead in the Bahamas jet crash. A private Learjet with 9 passengers on board crashed on approach to Grand Bahama International Airport, killing everybody on the plane, including the pastor and his wife. Dr. Miles Monroe and his wife Ruth were killed in the crash. Kelly Jackson, spokeswoman from the Andrew Young Foundation. Wow, okay, that's interesting. I just realized something. Miles Monroe. Well, then let me check something here. Oh, my. This is interesting. I guess I will still play you all a segment. Wow. I wasn't aware. Okay. Miles Monroe. Okay. I am going to play you a segment of a YouTube that someone sent me unrelated to what I've just said. I didn't put the two together yet till now. That the plane that crashed was Miles Monroe. And then the YouTube segment I'm going to play you is from Miles Monroe. And that wasn't planned. That this just kind of happened just now. I didn't really put the two together. Let me double check this, make sure. Yeah. Okay. Boy, that's tricky. Okay, I am going to talk about heretical teaching, but we're going into generational curses and what's really behind it. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you just a small sample of what they're teaching. And this incorporates, I've talked about, you know, Joyce Myers and Copeland and Hagee and all these, most all of them in TV today are going to be pulled away, are pulling away from the truth. They are. And let me give you an example of what they're teaching. Right here is, well, Miles Monroe. Here's what he said in one of the preaching. Listen to this. I'm going to teach just the first 2 minutes of it. And listen carefully about what he says about Paul's writings in the Bible.
Taught about what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a very important statement.
And what they're all doing is twisting Scripture to explain their wrong teachings. Some of the verses backwards in the same book says that Jesus was the message of the gospel of the kingdom. Here we go.
Because it shows you Paul's priorities.
Paul's priorities.
Let me just stress something for you theologians, you deep people who are watching this program. Let me talk to you theologues. You theologians should know better. Every letter, everybody say letter.
Letter.
Say it again.
Letter.
The books that we call New Testament epistles are exactly that. They are epistles. What's an epistle? It's a letter. It's not intended to be a theological discourse. It's not to be a presentation of Paul's gospel. The letters that we call books were actually written to address problems that were in churches. These were not to declare what Paul preached. Matter of fact, some of these letters were even by Paul himself said to be his opinion of certain things. Am I right?
He's totally wrong, because all the epistles contain enough information about which was the message of Paul and his gospel of heaven or kingdom of God is in the King James Bible. This is one of the reasons they go after the letters of Paul to discredit the King James Bible. You see? Now, that's all that needs to be played for that. You got the idea. This is unbelievable. I mean, I'm just amazed at how outwardly that they're coming out with this. It's just, it's mind-boggling. And then people sit there and say, oh, okay, and they take notes. Instead of somebody getting up and leaving, like in Osteen's, Victoria Osteen, God wants you to do for yourself first. He'll be happy when you do for yourself. Make yourself happy. God will be happy because you're happy. What? That's what she said, Victoria Osteen. That was a test to see how people would react. Here's another test. Well, now, you know, I just realized the two together that now this evangelist Monroe was one in that plane crash. Boy. Anyway, I found that quite amazing. I don't know. It's things are going on. Some things are happening. Now, what are generational curses? I mean, these generational curses is some of the major problems that are going on in families and countries and everything else. This is the root of it. It's not what Republicans vote, Democrats, or a president that don't know what they're doing, because none of them have. And all of them are same families. All of them are Luciferians, every single one of them, except for the ones they assassinated. There we go. I don't have the time, of course, to go into details, but when they become inaugurated, for example, they take two oaths, one oath that you all see, the inauguration thing, and the next one is they go to 16th Street, the Scottish Rite headquarters of the Freemasons, and they go through another ceremony where they go through an occult ceremony. People don't realize this. this is a priority in all the governments. When this happens, right down to a first degree Freemason in Timbuktu, Florida, North Carolina, wherever, they curse their family when they get into the Freemasons. The Freemasons are exalted above as a brotherhood and so forth. But what they don't tell them is a generational curse they put upon their family. Roman Catholic Church, Ash, whatever, Wednesday or something. They put the X on the forehead with ashes. That curses each individual. When the Muslims go to Mecca and they do the circle around the Mecca, they've got to make it one pilgrimage to Mecca in their lifetime. Family, when they do that, that curses them, and that curse is carried down to their family. When they all go around in the circle, it's called worship. It's the black sun. They don't realize this. They don't know, but they are responsible. God will hold them responsible, no matter if they know it or not. All holidays, I'm sorry, but all holidays are pagan. All of them. But the problem is, see, they're starting to reveal this now in YouTube and other circles, that the heresy of the Roman Catholic Church and the pagan background of holidays, they're telling you this now. Why? Because they're going to crash it. When they crash it, like a ship sinking, the survivors will try to find another flotation device or ship or whatever that will be the New Age movement. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. It's all being set up. Family, they're funneling people that are Christians of all kinds into one religion, the New Age movement. That's what's happening. So that, what does that tell us? It tells us we're close to the actual falling away. We're not in the falling away right now. Is it being set up? Yes. But we're not there yet. Because when it happens, it'll be in one day. It won't be a gradual thing. This will happen, boom, in one day. And then from then on, your life will change. They're not going to give you time to sit back and contemplate and do your programs on YouTube or Blog Talk or send out emails and mimes or mimes or whatever to people. All this, it's going to happen, boom, just like that. They're not going to give you time to think. It could be a crash of some kind or something, whatever. But fear, here's the connection. The fear that it causes, the panic, takes away your connection to God because you lose the faith. What happened to Peter? Now, I'm going to cover, it may not be tomorrow, but this week I want to talk about, I have pinned down the scriptures about translation and quickening of the body, i.e., example, Enoch and Elijah. What does it mean by translation of Enoch to where he's taken up to heaven alive? And Elijah, what really happened? The difference between ascending, which is only Jesus who ascended to heaven, and Enoch that was translated. Enoch did not ascend. He can't ascend. Ascending is you sending yourself to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Here I go. It don't work that way. Jesus ascended because he is God incarnated human flesh. He can ascend. The only one ever in the history of this world and universe is Jesus who ascended. That's it. That's why they call the fallen angels in the secular term of ascended masters. Humans that ascended in their planet or whatever they're going to come up with because they evolved from regular humans to, you know, godlike humans, and they come in here to teach us to do the same so we can ascend to the next level. It's a bunch of baloney, but this is what they've got everybody believing in their circles. Family, this goes as high as governments. Well, translating is a term for humans, and God translates the body, supernaturally changing the body structure, in other words. So we're going to talk about that. And then Acts 17, I want to talk about that too. But generational curses. Well, and I see that we're going to go part one probably tomorrow, part two. Because I think this is the part of the five-paragraph order for execution. Execution meaning, what's the solution here? What's the objective? What way to get over this and get through it? It's all supernatural. The Bible talks about generational curses in certain places, like Exodus 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children into the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. In Numbers 14:18 says, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And Deuteronomy 5 verse 9, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. That's three times it comes up. And continuing on, Deuteronomy 5:10, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Which brings me, in my mind right now, to this one, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, will heal their land. I just added that one, just popped in my head. It all works together. See, God warns that he is a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him. Jealous is not the same jealous as you might think. In other words, he's not putting up with any competition. It may sound unfair for God to punish children for the sins of the fathers, does it not? But there's more to it than that. The effects of sin are naturally passed down from one generation to the next. Did not the sin of Adam and Eve be passed down to us even till today? It's quite a few more than 3 or 4 generations. It's like 6 or 7,000 years. When a father, and the original sin passed down to the children, that'd be us too, binds the witchcraft. It binds Satan. The original sin by one man, all men were condemned, but by one man, all men are saved, and that's Jesus. That way Jesus don't have to die 7 billion times, just once, for the sins of all. You see, original sin binds the forces of evil. Isn't God amazing? He's the only way that could have happened, because he's a just God, is for his own son to die for all of us. But then our part is to acknowledge that sin. I had someone actually tell me last week at a bookshop I go to where you just sit and talk and all this. One person came in new and we're talking. Here goes the conversation. And this person said, oh, yeah, Baptist churches. Yeah, I go to Baptist church. He was kind of from another place, and he said, but Jesus died for all of us. I said, yeah. He said, that means I can do anything I want to. You know, but he died. He took the sin, so I can do anything. I said, whoa, Nelly, what do you mean? He said he could do any sin he wanted to and is still forgiven because Jesus died on the cross. I said, man, I don't know what Baptist church you're going to. Whatever it is, you better not go back there. Because the minute you set your foot on the door, it's going to fire you up. It's going to burn your hand. I said, get away from that Baptist church, whatever it is. And I wouldn't go there during a thunderstorm either if I were you. I said, man, get away from there. Fast. Move. Go. No, he didn't want to hear it because he's tied in. He's pulled into it. Yeah. They believe because Jesus died on the cross for all our sins. Man, I can do anything I want to. Whew, I tell you. It's not about religion. It's about Jesus. It's not about all the books. It's about one, King James Bible. That's why they hate the King James Bible. When a father has a sinful lifestyle, his children are likely to practice the same sinful lifestyle. Implied in the warnings of Exodus 20, verse 5, is the fact that the children will choose to repeat the sins of the father. I will tell you, yes, I know for a fact. I know for a fact that that's what happens. We never intended, but it worked out that way. I have personal experience on that, by the way. I want to look back on it. Right down to the nitty gritty. A Jewish targum specifies that this passage refers to ungodly fathers and rebellious children. So, it's not unjust for God to punish sin to the third and fourth generation. Those generations are committing the same sins their ancestors did. You'll find a lot of trouble in families. I've heard it more than once, where when they were told about this, that they checked back in the family background, had a grandmother, a great-grandmother, or a grandfather was a Freemason, or they dealt in Wicca, or they were involved with some occult lifestyle of some kind. Almost every time. There's a trend in the church today to try to blame, though, every sin and problem on some sort of generational curse. Not every one of them is. It's not biblical. It's not every one of them. God's warning to visit the iniquity on future generations is part of the Old Testament law. And a generational curse is a consequence sometimes for a specific nation, like Israel. Remember 70 AD. Jesus warned them. It happened. It's for a specific sin, idolatry. So the history books, when you go back in the Old Testament, especially when you go back to Judges, they contain the record of this punishment that's meted out. So the cure for a generational curse has always been repentance. To turn from your wicked ways. For me to turn from my wicked ways, I had to acknowledge that they were wicked. I had to acknowledge that I was sinning, and I had to acknowledge what it was. If I don't say what it is, how am I going to know? You don't cure a virus with an aspirin. You got to know what it is before you cure it. You know, when you go to Samuel, 1 Samuel 12, Old Testament, verses 10 to 11. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we've forsaken the Lord, have served Balaam and Astoreth. Wow. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord said, sent Jerubbaal and Bedam and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the land of your enemies, out of the hand of your enemies, on every side, and ye dwell safe. He took care of it. They followed up, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know this, I told you about disclosure. The fallen angels coming as extraterrestrials. Ascended masters. Yeah. Guess what they call themselves? They're coming from Ashtar. That matches up with Ashtaroth here in 1 Samuel 12:10. That's not a coincidence. Man, right there, broad daylight, man, I can see it. How they use the Bible and almost confirms that disclosure is close. So God promised to visit that Israel sin on the third and fourth generation. But then he said in the next verse there that he promised he would show love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. If you go to Exodus 20 verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Again, 2 Chronicles 7:14. In other words, God's grace lasts 1,000 times longer than his wrath. Now, for the Christian who's worried about a generational curse, the answer is salvation through Jesus Christ. And a Christian is a new creation. If you go to 2 Chronicles 5:17. If you go to 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, I can attest to this. I guess I can only use myself as an example. My real dad didn't know very well. Divorced like 2 or 3 times. And died at 54 years old. Alcoholism, heart attack, etc. Back in the 1980s. Smoked, drank, etc. Well, you can only imagine. So, but, when I was in the Marine Corps, yep, I sure did. I mean, I could put down tequila like it's nothing and drink didn't bother me at all. College, just Marine Corps after. I fell back. I got born again in 83 about that time. Fell back several times. Into my messing around and all that. I'd go for a while and then I'd fall back again. It's back and forth for me. I'm stubborn, hard-headed. And but the point here is, I can attest to when I became born again and when he let me go down for low, he got my attention and things started changing. I started little by little changing things, and it wasn't me doing it. That's the point. I stopped drinking straight. I had a regular drink called Southern Comfort on the rocks, straight up. It's regular. All the time. Everywhere I went, it's expected. I walked through the door, there it is, waiting for me. You understand. The day I quit drinking it, it wasn't planned. It was just like I just didn't do it. I lost the taste of it. It wasn't the time, though, that I said, I'm just going to stop today. And no, it just started happening. And the bartender said one day, he said, Tom, what's wrong with you? I said, why? He said, you're not drinking Southern Comfort anymore. I said, oh, really? You know, it hadn't really dawned on me. And I started getting to the Word. things started changing. Music changed. My different types of music. I started putting religious music on my car radio, and didn't really, it dawned on me one day, all the buttons were religious songs. I couldn't listen to country music. Dancing is a problem. Things started changing in my life, and there was no going back, because there's major changes taking place. That's what we're talking about here. You start taking things away. He'll leave certain things there, like thorns in your side. But it'll start taking certain other things away from you. So you ask, how can a child of God be under God's curse? Well, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the cure for a generational curse is repentance of the sin in question, faith in Christ, and a life that's consecrated to the Lord and the work He has for you. And when you're ready, when you've been through all what you're going through, and He says, well, He's ready, He's going to put it to you. He's going to give you your assignment. But only when you're ready. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's your will. Jonah didn't like it too well. How did Jonah fit into the belly of a fish? How did Peter walk on the water? How did Enoch be taken up alive, not dead? How did the woman with the issue of blood reach out and touch the hem of the garment of Jesus and was healed? By translating of the body is healing. And oh, by the way, doesn't mean you have to go to Benny Hinn's concerts and get slapped on the forehead and you're healed. Did not Jesus heal the legionnaire's servant that was miles and miles away at the same time? He didn't have to come to Jesus and get slapped on the forehead. The faith is what healed them all. The faith is what gave them the translation of the body. For Peter to walk on the water, he got afraid, he got in fear, he lost faith, he starts sinking. So what does that really mean? His body was transformed, literally, by his faith, or lack thereof. How does the healing take place? By faith, or no healing, the lack thereof. Also, it being God's will, that you're acceptable of whatever will the Father is. But you got to first fix your problem. That's to become righteous in His eyes. And that's between you and Him. Nobody else can judge you in that regard. Not be conformed to this world. I'm going to tell you something now. When you start going this route, you'll start a different walk. You'll think different thoughts. You do things differently than you used to do. I have mentioned this earlier today. Go something like this. The people who can see Satan in everything aren't looking to see Satan in everything. They are awake to the deception. because he is in everything. The people who can't see it are walking with the world and don't want their illusion destroyed because they would have to change their walk. It's kind of the same thing as fasting, dieting, changing your habits. You're comfortable with them. Whether it's good for you or not doesn't matter. It's not comfortable. It's a comfort zone. Doesn't necessarily mean it's good for you. It just means you're comfortable doing whatever it is you're doing. And I don't want to change it because I've been doing it all this time. I'm going to keep on doing it. You see, it's making that change. Second Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is God of this world, for the time being, as allowed by God, but only so far that Satan can go. And then God will pull him back on a choke chain. You know what Dwight Thompson said? He said, hell will be full of people who have religion in their head, but no reality in their heart. Generational curses. You kind of ask yourself, have you ever seen a family where the father has a problem with uncontrolled anger? Or his son seems to have handed it, and grandpa had the same problem, or whatever it is. You ever notice that not only do you suffer from something such as persistent irrational fears or depression, but your mother and her father also suffered from it as well? You know, there's a lot of people today who are living under this bondage, the chains that the sins of the forefathers brought them under. You see, the Freemasons have it backwards. God said to Adam and Eve, eat of every tree you want to, but don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Stay away from it. Act of disobedience gave them knowledge of good and evil. That knowledge enslaved them. Because Satan used that knowledge against them. They were not enslaved when they had or walking in concert with Jesus, with God, with the angel of the Lord in the Garden of Eden. Case in point, when they became knowledgeable of good and evil, they covered themselves and hid. That's being enslaved. That's in bondage. You see how it worked? Worked opposite. And yet the Masons are told that Lucifer freed them with knowledge. But knowledge is to enslave them. Because Satan controls the seven areas I mentioned before in this world. And it causes sin. And the sin enslaves by guilt, accusation. That's what really has happened. That's why God said, I give you free will. But don't eat of this tree, because it will enslave you. But he came and freed us anyway through Jesus. The freedom is back. But Satan is trying to hold you back too. But you have to acknowledge that sin. However, you must give up that pride to say you are wrong. And that's between you and Jesus. That's it. This is the key to success. Not Tony Robbins, not Carnegie. Man, they don't have a clue. And I mean that sincerely. Carnegie was Illuminati. If they had a clue, they'd renounce Lucifer, they'd get out of the Freemasons, take a blood oath, or get rid of the blood oath, get rid of the generational curse and follow God's will. But this is Carnegie, Family, we hold these people in high esteem. Tony Robbins, Rick Warren, Joyce Myers, they write all these books that's based on New Age theology. A purposeful driven life. No. What about a God-driven life? Uh-huh. See how tricky they are? Holy Spirit's moving, family, for truth. Break from these chains. The chains come from knowledge. But knowledge of the gospel, no. God will give you the knowledge you need to survive. God will give you the knowledge to love. He'll give you the knowledge to help each other. But Satan will use that knowledge to enslave you. Chains come from knowledge of the arts and sin. Many people today are living under bondage that the sins of their forefathers brought them under. You can speak curses to your family, to your children, and not realizing it. Oh, you're just stupid. You're stupid. You're crazy. You're not going to make it. Why do you keep doing that? You're going to fail. If you keep doing that to what you're doing, you're going to fail. Oh, okay. You see? Why? Because they were told the same thing that somewhere along the line. Lamentations. I got trouble with that word. Lamentations. I got it now. 5:7. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Boy. This is very important tonight. This generational curse is very important indeed to break those chains. This is what's going on today. Not Al-Qaeda. It's not Ebola. It's not Fukushima. Not FEMA camps. Not little polka dot colored polka dots on your mailboxes. All this stuff. All that's to cause fear. Every single bit of it. Every bit of it. We know the tribulations are coming. We're all worried about transhumanism and all this stuff. Family, when the tribulations begin, they have no idea. All that's going to go by the wayside. FEMA camps, there are not going to be any FEMA camps left. They don't realize this. The very beginning, maybe. So what? If you fear death, then you're afraid to live. Every day you fear death, then you're afraid of life. Every day. And what they're doing in a lot of these shows, on the radio, alternative news, is fear, fear, fear. You're going to die from this, die from that, this, that, and the other. Here comes a meteorite. Here comes FEMA camps. Here comes all this stuff. Now, granted, you all are conspiracy researchers. I changed it. Conspiracy theorists? No, conspiracy researchers. I changed it. So you assume when we get together, or you get together with whoever else, you listen to other shows or whatever, that everybody knows it. They don't. Family, some people, you forget. 90% of the population have absolutely no clue what we're talking about today. And if you were to get together with each one of y'all that have an idea about this conspiracy, and you were to talk to a group of people that heard you, you're talking a new language. You'd leave them in the dust. the people that don't study this have no idea what's coming their path, including those in churches today, because they're not taught how to deal with generational curses. Now, tonight, we're coming toward the end tonight, but tomorrow I'm going to continue on, of course, and then we're going to start along the way to come up with solutions about how to deal with generational curses. This is really what's going on today. But repentance is on the top of the list of what to do. You ever heard that word, break this glass in case of emergency? Well, repentance is breaking the glass. And pulling out something you need right now is repentance to Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus and the power of his blood, to renounce and break sever all curses that have been handed down to me from my ancestors. In the name of Jesus, to loose myself and my future generations from any bondages passed down to me from my ancestors. You know, if a curse has landed on you and has been broken, it doesn't mean that you're delivered from the spirits that entered through this curse. But you may still need further deliverance. And that's to have these spirits cast out that took advantage of the curses that's handed down to you. But we'll talk more detail tomorrow, next part to that. We'll call it part three, part four. Actually, it comes back from last week. It's a continuation. Be part five tomorrow. About this generational curse and who's the enemy. So, and also want to talk about Acts 17, specifically 23 to 27, looks like. It's quite interesting. We'll talk about that. And then translation of the body, how that works. It has everything to do with rapture. That's sometime in the future that nobody knows when. Never will know till it happens. It's too late in the twinkling of an eye. It's too late to change after that happens. Boom, it's done. Where did they go? I don't know. Uh-oh. It's that quick, or quicker than that, actually. We are upon us. It is coming. To break that chain, you better start now. And don't wait. Just as other demons don't automatically leave at the time of salvation, neither do the demons that you've gotten from your ancestors automatically leave you either. It's what causes continuing of sinning. You still have the strong man to deal with inside you. Now, we're going to talk about being demonized. We're going to talk about what demons really are and able to defeat them, to deal with them. And this is really the get down the nitty gritty. So if there's any points that you want me to cover in the future this week, bring them up, send me an email. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And remind you that we are played up at highportradio.net under John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Kirkler, highportradio.net. And he's got sponsors up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And check out his website. And he plays us randomly. I think there's some others that plays a simulcast. I got to check on that. But in any case, I appreciate y'all dropping by today. We're just getting kicked off. And it'll be generational curses. We'll talk about how to defeat them. How to find out what they are, we'll cover as much as possible this week. And the broadcast I'll also expose, and it's all really connected to the broadcast I do also. Everything happening today is connected. The news, Lucifer's agenda for bringing a new world order, them trying to find out, you know, how close are they that will accept this new world order after an event or a crisis happens? How they've maneuvered the generations to accept this New Age movement? Man, there's so much stuff that people don't know. Oh, man, it's just amazing. But what's the bottom line? Repentance. And cutting that generational curse of that family members that might have, that you may not even know about. And then stopping the sinning. Close in prayer. And then y'all get ready. Because this week we're going to hit the ground running every night. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in this Bible study. Father, to teach us, to train us, to Father, to give us insight, wisdom, discernment into breaking these curses and breaking these chains. Father, to guide us in the proper steps and guide us, Father, with wisdom, discernment. And also, Father, give us opportunities to witness, to spread to our family members and our friends, any strangers, Father, we run into, that, Father, we can help others also. To strengthen our walk, Lord, that we are fitting for service in your rising army. And, Father, you train us to be the soldiers in your army and to be children of God. And, Father, we thank you for the opportunities you give us. We pray for our families. And all these things, we're making a prayer, Lord. Amen. Family, be ready in your bug-out bag. It's repentance. That's your bug-out bag. And a bug-out bag is not going to take with you to heaven. It's not going to make it. And you don't need freeze-dried manna either. It's not going to be there. You've got to depend on God in the end. Hopefully you do it now. But why do you think he's got tribulations coming? That's to wake people up, shake out this matrix, and all of our attention toward him. The wheat and the tares, that decision's coming. If I was you, I'd get a head start real soon. What's it going to be like when you see him for real? Do you know what you're going to do? Do you have any idea what you might do when you finally see Jesus Christ? What it might be like. Family, y'all have a great night. And God bless y'all. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock at a broadcast. Hit the ground running tomorrow too. And you can only imagine, by mercy me, what it's going to be like when you see Jesus Christ coming out of the clouds. And he's heading straight to Jerusalem. That day's coming. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. This is your watchman. Signing off. By your side. Good night.
I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak? I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing inside. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever. do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine